Good morning, 7:19 a.m. on Wednesday, October the 7th, 2015. 7:19, I came out. This is the late day, tomorrow's the early day, for kid transport. And I'm going to see if I can't stow this carefully in my pocket, because if you saw the picture this morning, you know, it is, yeah, it's a bit foggy. It's actually, I almost think it's getting thicker, but there was a time when I was walking up to the post this morning to take a photograph, and I thought, wow, I wonder if I can find the tree. It was almost pretty astonishing. We don't usually get this kind of fog. It's a nice change, but everything is cold and raw and wet, including me. Just barely 50 degrees. Official temperature is 48. It's one of those mornings where I almost said, oh, screw this. But I'm here. I'm out. The book is hanging in at around 200, which is really good. I still can't seem to knock off that stupid 2287 AD title. It's just hunkered down up there, number one, for days now. And I actually grabbed a sample of it and tried to read it. And I can't. It's just, seriously, no, we can't. So anyway, what am I reading? I'm reading something. Chris Rayer, R-E-H-E-R. No, I don't remember the title. I haven't seen the title. It's one of those books where I've been picking it up and, you know, reading for 10 minutes while I'm cooking or something. I haven't been suckered into it to the point where I put other things aside so that I could read. It's a good book. It's interesting. I think Chris was one of the people who was in the Stars and Empire 2 series, Stars and Empire box set. I think. Anyway, I picked it up a while ago. Been chipping away at it. Pretty good. It's a classic story. Every time you think the character is going to get ahead, they get the rug pulled out. It's the same kind of maddening formula that I see all the time. Characters are interesting. The universe is a bit predictable. Bad guys are bad guys. The good guys are bad guys. The only really good guys are apparently the sidekicks. And if I read it, the last few passages correctly, they're all dead. So it's not something I could recommend without reservation, but it's not a bad book. yesterday was another day of paying close attention to social media and not paying close attention to my word processor. I need to stop that. I need to stop that. One of the discussions going on last night was about why doesn't Ishmael keep in touch with anybody? And there's so many answers to that. It's like, hey, why would he? But it turns out that people actually do keep track of folks from their past. 30 years ago. Oh, yeah, it was my buddy 30 years ago. Really, what's he doing now? Oh, you know, he and his second wife and 12 kids are living on their estate in Texas or something. And part of me, and that part of me is like, really? I mean, I know two people to speak to on any kind of semi-regular basis, like once every third month, from my high school class. Not even the closest people who were, not even the people I was closest to in my high school class, although certainly not my enemies. And I have, you know, I've reached out to a couple of people who are in the military with me, a couple of people who are stationed with me in Kodiak. And I don't have any connection with the people who were with me on board ship. I reached out to one of the guys who was in radio school with me, who's actually an oceanographer now. He always wanted to be an oceanographer. He wanted to be an oceanographer then. He had a degree in oceanography, but the Coast Guard put him to work as a radio operator. And he got out to finish his PhD in oceanography, teaches in Florida. Florida? One of those Gulf Coast states. Anyway, he's... And that was only like in the last... I want to say in the last year that I've reached out to him, just because it was one of those, I wonder if I could find him. And we sent a couple messages back and forth. That was it. I haven't talked to him since. Back in BIW, I actually reached out and communicated with somebody that I remember from there. And I don't know if I did that because people kept asking, why doesn't Ishmael keep track of each other, keep in touch with his old friends? It's like, do people do that? And apparently, a few do. And they don't keep track of everybody. They just sort of keep track of a few. But there is a... From a world-building point of view in the Trader's Tales, there's actually a more significant factor, and that's that inter-system communication is expensive. For private communications, it's very expensive. It's, you know, one message can cost as much as a month's rent, and that's not, you know, and that's just like a short message. It's not conducive to, oh, hey, how you doing? There isn't a Facebook. There isn't a interstellar internet where you can just log in your PDA or even your tablet and communicate across vast distances in relatively short periods of time. And it's A, it's expensive, and B, that facility is suppressed by the CPJCT. Now, there's no reason for anybody to know that except me. But it's suppressed for a reason, which has a lot to do with the way CPJCT manages its far-flung enterprise. One of the problems with the Western Annex, or any of the annexes really, One of the reasons that the CPJCT has to have a local presence in the Western Annex is that the lines of communication are too long. It's from core worlds out. It just takes too long to communicate. And so, rather than let their representatives across the various Confederation planets have the kind of autonomy that you saw in say, for example, ship captains during the Napoleonic War. Long post. Or ship captains in general. But the reality is that that's a function of CPJCT policy. It's certainly not that it costs that much, but it's one of their revenue streams, a minor one, and it reserves their bandwidth channels for business purposes, which have a slightly different rate, which we also don't know. Although it should be obvious because of the use of communications relay buoys. But it's interesting that so many people are look at, well, why doesn't Ishmael keep track of the money? And no, I don't think anybody has ever asked why didn't Beverly or Bev or Pip contact him? Why didn't they send him a message? Why didn't they reach out to him? And the answer is the same reason, in part because it's expensive, but in part because it's not part of their culture. It's not part of their society. People swap in and out as context changes. That sort of, let's keep in touch, best friends forever. Let's get the other on our 90th anniversary or something. It doesn't exist there. So there was a big conversation last night about, well, why wouldn't somebody, since it's so expensive, why wouldn't somebody create a cheap way of communicating? The answer is that there has to be a need for it. There isn't a need. There might be a need, but the sort of cultural connectedness that we're used to here colors everybody's idea of what that society is in terms of being a spacer, in terms of being on board a ship pretty much all the time until you retire and you settle down or whatever. But even those people, I'm thinking of Jennifer Argato and her mother, who have close family ties that are scattered all across, they tend to stay together. They tend to be family ships. They tend to be trade co-op ships. They tend to be like Pip's family, the Carstairs. They cross paths. It's not 100% clear how often, but they cross paths pretty regularly. Otherwise, Roger Carstairs wouldn't have known, wouldn't have run into Aunt P to find out that Pip was with this guy named Ishmael Wong. And the reality is he knew that Ishmael was on the Lois McKendrick. No, not Ishmael. He knew that Pip was on the Lois McKendrick, or at least that he was out there, and he knew perfectly well where he was. He knew perfectly well how to reach him, but never did. So there's this whole sort of cultural aspect to the lack of communications across vast distances. It's not just the distance. The distance is certainly a factor. The distance is certainly a justification for CPJCT charging so much for inter-system communication. And the reality is we already see that level of breakdown here, now. And while we can reach out and talk to pretty much anybody we can think of we can find, the reality is the days of knowing everybody on your block and who they're married to and who their kids are, and, you know, who's got a birthday, who's got an anniversary, who's squabbling with who, who's sleeping with who, okay, with whom, by me. Those circumstances still exist in pockets, but they no longer exist to the degree that they used to, where physical proximity controlled community, where physical proximity was the only glue, the only connection. I know you because I live next door to you. And then I know you, you know, I started out with, I know you were in my tribe, I know you, you're in my village. Then we got up to, I know you, you're in my town. And it became harder because there's more people and not everybody knows everybody. And it becomes stratified in class. So farmers tended to know the farmers, but they certainly knew the millers. But I didn't necessarily know directly all the bartenders. They knew the guy who brewed the beer in their neighborhood, but not necessarily the guy who brewed the beer across town. That social structure existed for a very long time in relation to social structures. Of course, humans haven't been around that long. But it's pretty much gone. It's pretty much gone. And while there are people who do maintain the social contact through some sort of training or socialization, the reality is that it's not. It's no longer universal. It's no longer the case. It's no longer what happens. Even here. So the fact that it would have been moved elsewhere 300 years from now doesn't seem really that, I don't know, it doesn't seem really that far-fetched to me. So part of it is the social contract. Part of it is it's really expensive. It's sort of like being the only guy in the town who has a phone, or the only guy on the planet that has a phone. I have a phone. Nobody else, there's nobody to call. There's no phone calls to answer. Nobody's calling you. So even if he had a phone, even if he could do it cheaply, nobody else is doing it. And he has no socialization, no social expectation that he should be doing it either. So that was a conversation that was going on last night when I should have been writing. My hands are warmed up finally. Of course, I'm almost back now. I have to remember to go pick up the milk. Everything is drippy. Yuck. All right. Well, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.